Generation X is a global generation, and there you really see the similarity. Hip-hop is popular throughout the world among people in their 30s and 40s. You got hip-hop in Taiwan, it's in Germany, it's in France, it's in Russia, and it's the same thing. I mean, you look around the world, the Xers are very pragmatic, they're into managing their local affairs, they're into family, they're very market-oriented, they buy low, sell high, they don't particularly like politics, they hate ideology, and they're all drawn to urban life where they can make deals and get ahead economically.
Yeah.
This is the generation in China which is moving 10 million a year east into the big cities like Shanghai. And they are the ones that are both the yuppified, the yuppified elite in these walled communities outside of Shanghai, and they're also the 100 million urban army of the semi-employed with no benefits, no health care, no pensions, no anything, and they're the ones pouring all the concrete and building all the skyscrapers. And then you have throughout the world the opening signs of a millennial generation. I'm in touch with a number of researchers in Europe who see that. In Germany, this is called, they actually have a name for it, Generation Nullsoft. And Nullsoft in German is slang, which basically means no problem, no trouble, the no trouble generation. Very conventional, very much interested in sort of long-term advancement in their corporations, very family-oriented. And in China, this is the little emperor generation, you know, very spoiled, very special, very sheltered, mm-hmm. very protected. I don't know if you saw, but Premier Wen Jiabao, the one who made this pronouncement, because they have all these strikes in China, said that the new generation of Chinese should not be allowed to suffer bad working conditions, and that all Chinese should treat these younger workers as our own children. I mean, it sounds exactly like the kinder politics of Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, you know, leave no child behind, and, you know, V-chips and cops and shops and school uniform, all these things we have to do for kids today. And, you know, this is a generation of young people that expect to be publicly taken care of and publicly favored in a way that the prior youth generation was abused and was allowed to basically take it on the chin.
Well, you know, Len was born in 42, so that makes him the end of the boomers, right?
He's
end of the silence.
He's kind of right in the middle of sort of generation 3 and 4. He's sort of a very early for the Red Guard generation, and he's exactly what you'd expect him to be. The other thing was that the young Chinese, they surprised everyone. You remember when there were those big earthquakes in the southern China near the Yangtze,
yes.
and several of those towns collapsed. Well, one thing, the youth really surprised all the Chinese because they all organized trains to take vast numbers of youth volunteers to these areas to help, you know, pick up all the concrete and to find survivors and so on. There was a huge sort of journalistic discussion of how surprising everyone found these young people to suddenly have all of this sort of civic ambition to work in teams for the betterment of, you know, the peacefully rising China. The other thing you find about this generation, this young emperor, little emperor generation, is that they are totally unlike the young people at Tiananmen Square. These young people today utterly believe the Chinese leadership. They totally believe in China's future. They don't think that the Chinese, you know, leadership lies to them. You remember when there was that recent suppression in Tibet, when China had to, you know, those riots in Tibet and China sort of forcefully put them down. The young defended China. Even in universities here in the United States, the Chinese students were saying, well, wait a second, you know, we're Chinese government's misunderstood. It's, you know, it's hard to run a province like Tibet, you know? here's a very different and interesting young generation with a very different relationship to the Chinese leadership. My own opinion is, given what you mentioned earlier, I think is very correct, China has a history of radical cyclicality, cyclical change, and they've throughout their history, they've alternated back and forth between a xenophobic, tightly hierarchical, centralized leadership and on the one hand, and then periods of great openness to markets, to technological change, to individualism, and they then, you know, it suddenly moves the other way. It suddenly moves back to kicking all the foreigners out and going back to, you know, going back to authority, going back to hierarchy. And one wonders, after 30 years of uninterrupted prosperity and a complete flattening of the income distribution, to just spectacular contrast of rich and poor in China, everyone still thinks, is a totalitarian government. They're one of the most libertarian societies on earth. They don't even have public health care, practically, in the cities. Education is, you know, you pay for your own, you pay for everything in China, if you remember the aspiring middle class. A lot of people don't even pay their income taxes. It's kind of a wild west out there.
Yeah, it really is.
And you just wonder, in a society which has historically put such emphasis on harmony, hierarchy, you know, one thing that's making a big comeback, and by the way, this is the Red Guard generation now that they're entering, you know, their elder years, there's a huge comeback in China now of Confucius. Confucius, you know, respect authority, you believe in harmony, you respect hierarchy, and of course, my explanation is these boomers, now that they're getting old, you know, they trashed traditional culture when they were young, but of course, now they're getting old,
they change.
They really appreciate about Confucius, as Confucius teaches young to respect the old, right? So
people mellow out when they get older, Neil.
Well, as we boomers get old, I think we're gonna see some wisdom in teaching the young to respect the old.
Let me ask you about the millennials with expression. First of all, we've got like the internet, where all walks of life are using it, but it's this group that uses Twitter and Facebook, a little bit of MySpace when it was as hot as it used to be. They've got tattoos for expression. They've got tools at their disposal that not a lot of us had.
Well, they do, but it's interesting, their take on it is a little bit different than what older people expect. We did a big project for Time Warner, and we did lots of surveys and sort of ethnographic investigation of how kids were actually using technology in their own bedrooms and so on. So we had a tremendous amount of data to work with. And one of the things we found was that, you know, I suppose that maybe this is the fear of a lot of parents, is that kids use social network sites to meet exotic, strange people, right? I mean, isn't that the fear of every parent?
It does happen.
Well, it does happen. But we found that that's extraordinarily the exception.
Very rare.
That something like 99%+ of what millennials do on social software is to reinforce and add an extra dimension to all of the relationships, social relationships they already have in real life.
Right.
And you know, that's what they do. They don't care much about privacy. We all know that. But it's because they open themselves up to peer-on-peer regulation,
mm-hmm.
so that in a way you open your life up to other kids being able to sort of see what you're doing. And to some extent, that leads to this sort of this consensus mindset, this kind of conventionality we almost see. I mean, if you watch, for example, you know, the various iterations of High School Musical, and you wonder how you could get musicals about young people that are so saccharine and stuff, well, these are kids that are constantly judging each other, right? Constantly getting each other's approval. It's very, very different. It leads to a loss of privacy, which is both good and bad in different ways. Tattoos. Statistics show that millennials have somewhat more tattoos than Xers, but that they're smaller and they're generally, you're less, usually less able to see them outside the clothing. That is to say, they're usually under the clothing.